Hello, everyone. We're going to do some Q&A. I also need to get all my little screens set up and make sure that I can see all the things. I'm going to teach a little bit on some diet mentality. Then you can ask questions. I can see the chat. And then I'm sure in a moment, one of my coaches who needs to raise their hand will be here so I can promote them. We have some exciting announcements today. And if you're wondering why I don't have makeup on, it is because I did put a little mascara on, but I am having some laser stuff done to my face, mainly for this big mole that I have on my face. I'm just trying to lessen it, not trying to get rid of it. But it's been there all my life, but the older I get, the bigger it gets. So I was like, well, I don't need to take over my face. So we're gonna, I think they're it's called a cool peel is what they're doing. And basically, everybody think of me at 2 o'clock today because they have to numb my face for an hour. And then they essentially stab it over and over and over again with a needle that injects extreme heat into my face. It's the last time I did, if you ever watched In Living Color back in the day, tonight I will look like Fire Marshal Bill. And tomorrow I will look like half a Fire Marshal Bill. So it's quite lovely. But you only have to do it 3 times, and then it should help this little guy go down some. So that'll be good. All right, let's start with some really cool announcements. So I'm literally just going to read this to make sure that I get it all accurate for all of you. And for those of you who are wondering, we had an amazing trip to Vegas. We went with my best friend Jane, and her husband was turning 50. So we went, and we just literally we ate out a couple times. We went to Haleo at Cosmopolitan, which was it's like Mexican inspired dishes, like small plates. And so you just keep ordering things until I guess you have your fill. And so we just tried lots of different things. That was kind of cool. And then at night, we just would go to a small bar somewhere that was kind of quiet, and we would all just talk because we were there with friends of theirs that we had never met. So it was kind of like Jane and Todd knew both couples, and it was kind of like worlds collide because Jane and I are best friends. We have like our own unique friendship, and then these are her triathlon best friends that I've never met before. So it was really neat, kind of getting to know like another part of Jane's life that I really don't know other than through story, like what she tells me. So that was neat. I think Chris and I slept a lot. Like we slept a lot. We ended up not playing poker at all. We just kind of chilled in the room a lot, talked a lot. I don't know. We just kept Jane and I went walking every day. It was just a nice trip. So, and the cowboys were there, meaning the rodeo was there, which there were legit cowboys everywhere the whole time we were there. So that was nice. There were some nice looking ones too. All right, let's talk about announcements. So we have some big changes coming to the website tomorrow. So we have been quietly working behind the scenes for a few months now. I had some ideas about things that we could do to the website to streamline it, make it easier for everyone. And for a long time, we just couldn't do it for various tech reasons and stuff. And then finally, we figured out some workarounds. And so tomorrow, when you log in to nobswomen.com, expect to see a brand new experience. Not everything in the website has changed, but you will be pleasantly surprised. First thing that we did is we streamlined the menu. So the menu is going to be a lot simpler and easier to find the things that you want. We also have a new format for the No BS weight loss course. One of the things that people have wanted for a long time was the ability to like turn boxes on and off. You're going to see like the lesson, and then you'll see the next lessons coming up. So it's going to kind of have a little bit of sort of like a Netflix kind of feel to it. So just be surprised when you go and look at it. What else are we doing? We didn't take anything off the website. So things have moved around, but your fan favorites are all still there. So if you can't find something, you have two options. You can use the search bar to just search for what you want. Or if you use the blue question mark at the bottom of the page, that will go directly to our customer support center. And meaning Vern, my mama, and my brother. Always like how I talk about customer support like it's this, you know, thousands of people just sitting by waiting at the keyboard to answer your question. And I'm like, yeah, my mom, Vern, and my brother are standing by just waiting for you to like send them a message. So we're very homegrown around here at the No BS. So you can always just ask there. Like anytime you have a question, you can always go straight there. And then the other big significant change that we are making is, and I want to just tell y'all a little bit about this before we move into what I'm going to teach today, which is all about, what am I teaching today? Reset your diet, mindset, food. No, wait a minute. That's weak. What are we doing? Oh, the three hidden reasons the weight won't stay off. I'm like, the hell am I even teaching today? I have my notes. I just haven't like gone up there. So, somebody asked, since my growth has been there forever, did I give it a name? No, I never did. But I will tell you, it's got a wicked hair that likes to grow out of it now. It's a naughty growth. It's got a gray hair that like springs up out of nowhere. I don't know what it is about getting older, but you wake up and the next day you'll have a hair this long. And I'm like, what happened overnight? Did somebody fertilize my face? So anyway, the big significant change. So I will be redoing No BS in a new way, probably the second half of next year. But in the interim, I wanted to make a few changes to the course to make it easier for y'all to lose weight. So we have removed module two out of the No BS course. And let me tell you, let me just tell you my thinking behind it so that all of you who are ThoughtWork fans are not gonna be like, oh my God, are we not doing ThoughtWork anymore? We're still fucking doing ThoughtWork. But here's how we're gonna do it. When you take the No BS weight loss course now, it's going to be modules one, three, and four, which we're now just going to call them by their names instead of module numbers. And the reason why we took it out is we watched basically user behavior. And when y'all get to about lesson three in module two, guess what happens to the course? Over 70% of people stop listening. They never make it to the overeating part. They're like, oh, feelings? Shit. Why don't you just tell me how to eat? Why don't you just tell me how much I should eat? People shut down when they get to that part. So when I looked at the course, here's what I realized. I bake a lot of thought work in. So I don't necessarily have to teach you how to do the four N's in the very beginning of weight loss to help you think better about yourself, to help you normalize why you might be overeating. If you re-listen to No BS, you hear me introducing to you, like, you might be thinking, but this is also true. That's why so many of you love this fucking shit. It's because we take a lot of the thought work off of your back. It's like you have your shitty story about, well, I've never been able to lose weight before. And then you hear me say, well, good. Then you should have no problem losing weight because I've never met a fucking person who's lost all of their weight say, I did it before. You know what they always say? I've never been able to do it and keep my weight off. So your ability, whether you've lost weight in the past or not, is irrelevant to this time because every single success story, when they finally lose weight, it's like, yeah, I had failed every time until this time. And this time I'm focused on making sure I can keep it off. Do you notice how, like, I didn't have to teach you a fucking four in? We didn't have to, like, if we go all the way back to the old school when I used to teach it, we didn't have to run a model. We didn't have to do a think, feel, do cycle. All most people need in the very beginning is to hear the four basics, why we get tripped up, lots of things to do, and lots of new ways to think. So we pulled it out. It is now going to be in pathways. So when people graduate from No BS, they're going to now go straight to Basics 2.0. And I have refined Basics 2.0 and made it tighter and cleaner and better. Still the content, but we just did a lot of editing to make sure people can get through learning how to lose weight and hearing over and over and over again different ways to think about it, rather than the way you think about it, I want people to hear the way I think about it over and over and over again, because it will combat your old thinking. Then when you're done with that, then you go and you take your quiz. And then the quiz will probably send most people, if I had to guess, most people are going to say, you know, it's my shitty ass thinking. Like, I've been taking this course and I can really see I'm down on myself. I'm hard on myself. I stress myself out a lot. I'm a people pleaser. Some of my relationships aren't the best that they can. And that's when we'll send everybody through the thought work part of everything, where you'll have everything you need to lose weight. And then we'll really be able to just deep dive into what goes on in the root cause. So I just kind of wanted to explain why we're making this change for everyone so that you really understand. Like, when I change things, I take it very seriously. I read through loads and loads of feedback and, you know, what y'all write in, what you're saying in Facebook, how I'm coaching and stuff, to always be trying to, my main goal is just to get the program to where anybody can go through it and finally think, this is exactly how I'm going to lose weight. I know this is going to work for me. And then once you start doing it, you start getting wins and you start getting wins. Cause I really know that, cause you know, y'all, I didn't have all the tools that I give all of you to lose weight. I was the first experiment. I had to create all this stuff for me to be able to lose weight. And so when I'm thinking about this, one of the things that I know that really helped me was, as I did things, I kept it so simple in the beginning phases to where I could get wins. And the more wins that I got, the more I was able to do other things, the more I was able to explore what was really going on underneath and all of these other things. So that's the big changes. Make sure that you check out nobswomen.com tomorrow so you can just kind of see. What, like, take a look. I bet you're going to love the new look. It is so streamlined and so simple. All right, let's move on. Well, before I start teaching, here's one question. What do you think about Weight Watchers changing their business model to include weight loss drugs? I think it's great. I think the new class of weight loss drugs can be a game changer for a lot of people. I have the same thoughts and feelings about weight loss drugs as I do antidepressants. I would never tell a woman who's sitting around depressed that she should be able to get out of that on her own. Now, here's what I do think about weight loss drugs. And this is the research that I've been doing and all the doctors that I talk to. And I mean, y'all, I've been researching this. Here's the things that we need to pay attention to with weight loss drugs. If you don't do the root cause emotional work, at some point you will override those drugs. If you don't work on what was causing the eating to begin with, overeating patterns come back. And now that they've been out long enough, they're starting to show. And our own women will tell you. Now, we have a large group of women who are in an unofficial Facebook group who are using them. I read this stuff. I coach this stuff. Sometimes people come on and coach. And what happens is, although it can, like, maybe blunt an appetite or make your stomach empty slower or whatever, you know, like say those things. At some point, if you can't deal with your emotions, you will want to get out of pain, which means you would be willing to override not wanting to eat in order to buffer against feeling ashamed, feeling bad, feeling guilty, feeling regret, feeling overwhelmed, like you're letting everyone down. And that's what I keep hearing from people. It's like, it's not enough to take the drug if you're not really, it's just like when people have weight loss surgery. You know, they take half their stomach out, whatever they do in those different surgeries. And at some point, majority of them end up gaining weight because if you're eating because your life is intolerable or your emotions are intolerable or You don't have enough joy in your life. You don't have enough pleasure in your life, or you feel like you're just making it through each day. Whatever's going on, eventually you will want to get out of that pain, even if it means eating against yourself. You will figure it out. So I think it's very important. And this is what most of the, like, all of the obesity medicine specialists, in fact, I'm interviewing one for my podcast today. She focuses more on the emotional side, not the weight loss drugs and stuff. She did a TEDx not too long ago. And so I don't even know how, how she heard about me, but somehow our paths must have crossed in the interwebs, and she's going to be a guest on the podcast. And it just, like, most obesity med, if you're seeing an obesity medicine specialist, they will tell you you've got to be working on the emotional component alongside them if you want to be able to keep the weight off. Otherwise, we will find a way to go back to our old coping mechanisms, especially when the weight is gone. That is the most dangerous time, because a lot of people are really good at losing weight. And what they do is they feel so good about the weight loss that what it does is it kind of covers up whatever it is they were overeating with in the beginning. So if you think about the high of losing weight, people are now complimenting you. You finally feel like you have control over a part of your life. And so you get real focused on that. So your brain is just thinking about all of this goodness. Well, then you like lose your weight. And just imagine that the whole time you're losing weight, that you were high off of the weight loss, but you were still overworking at work. You still felt underappreciated there. You still felt like you were having to burn the candle on both ends, that when you were at work, you were, on. And then when you come home, you're on. And the only time you found pleasure was dieting. Because that's why some of us do so well dieting. We're either finding pleasure in overeating or finding pleasure in the dieting. And both of them give this us a sense of I'm taking care of me. So you lose the weight. Well, you're not getting hits off the scale anymore. People are normalizing to your weight loss. You're used to what you're doing. It's no longer feeling like you're in control, because now you're back to thinking about my boss hates me. They always make me work late. My kids are ungrateful. Nobody helps me, blah, blah, blah. But I'm a size eight. Eventually, what happens is that because you never really found true pleasure and new thinking in your life, once that weight's gone, this life is still staring at you. The lack of boundaries is still staring at you. The inability to see your own success and waiting for someone else to give it to you is staring at you. That's why so many people regain their weight when they lose weight, whether that's on, whether you're taking weight loss drugs, you're having surgery. I mean, it can even happen in no BS. A lot of times people get so excited about, like, oh my gosh, this is so easy, all the things, and they're not really thinking about their life. Now, the way that I teach it, we're examining our life all the time. Like, when you're just losing weight for the sake by not eating, exercising, and following a strict meal plan without ever like looking at overeats and all these other things, you miss out on that. That's one of the reasons why we have you like really examine the emotional eating and all these others. This is why we plan for foods that we tend to emotionally eat. We want to normalize around them. We want to take away its comfort. We want to make it just another food so that we're faced with having to figure out how to truly comfort ourselves. This is also why, when you get done losing the weight, I send you into a maintenance program inside of No BS so that you can shift your identity, so you can study the things that are going to come up for you that are in maintenance rather than just getting thrown back out into the cold world. So it's really, really important that, and this is, I want to like caution some people. We're changing a lifetime of hardcore wiring. That is very true, but please watch how we think about it. I'm changing a lifetime of hardcore wiring, and it's completely possible. Because here's the funny thing. Whether it's been a lifetime or 3 weeks of wiring, your brain treats it the same. The problem is we don't treat it the same with our thinking. We think that because we thought one way our entire life, that that means it's going to be harder to change instead of I've thought this way my entire life. So for the rest of my life, when I hear that, I get to redirect. Notice how that feels very different. It drops the expectation that that wiring is supposed to go away. You don't want it to go away. All you really want is the ability to hear it and pivot when you do. That's it. If you can do that, you've won the game of life. Seriously, you have just won the game of life. No one needs their old thinking to go away in order to experience success, in order to feel better, in order to do better, in order to get their dreams. You do not need old thinking to go away. But you do have to quit making it a big deal. You have to quit using it old thinking as an excuse for why you're not doing now. Because I tell all of you all the time, the moment you can identify your old thoughts, if your famous words are, "But I keep thinking," which is what most of you fucking do. It ain't a shock to what you think. But I keep thinking it tastes good. But I keep thinking I failed. But I keep thinking, insert your bullshit thought. That's not the problem. The problem is, but I keep thinking and I don't do shit about it when I hear it. That's the problem. It needs to be, I keep thinking this, and here's what I tell myself, and then go do. That is all you have to do because I promise all of you, but I keep thinking a lot of shit every single day and I keep moving forward. This morning, the first thought I had about my leg day was, but I don't have time. It would be real easy for me to tell my coach, well, Christine, it's really hard for me to get workouts in. I mean, every morning I wake up and I think, but I don't have time. I mean, I could literally say that, but I don't have time, and then not do it. Or I can say, hey, I got my workout done today, even though I didn't think I had time. I figured out what I could do. I told myself to shut up and put up. Whatever it is that you want to think. When I think shit like that, all I do is pivot. I do not sit there and spend time wondering when this thinking's going to stop. I do not spend time whining and blaming and complaining about it. None of that is going to get you any weight loss. So the good news is that if you literally ever can say, but I keep thinking, you ain't got a problem. You have a pivot moment. The only problem you have is when you sit there and act like a helpless victim to it. You're not a helpless victim to your thinking, y'all. The most dangerous thinking is the thinking you're not listening to. I gotta put some, my lips are so dry. Sorry. I don't get something on my lips. I'm gonna end up with cracked lips and bleeding. Okay. So that's my thoughts on the new class of drugs. I think that for any of you who are considering it, you are not gonna get shamed on, you are not going to get looked down on inside of no BS. I think it's just another thing for people to try. I think some people are going to want to try it, some people ain't. And I will promise all of you, whether or not no matter what you do, the four basics still work with all of it. That's why I have them. Because the four basics work with all of it. And whether or not you use things or not, the four basics work. I use them. Thousands of other women have used them and had success. It's just a personal decision. That's it. Okay. All right. Let me get to what I'm talking about today. So let's talk about the three hidden reasons weight won't stay off, which kind of good because we just talked about like, but I keep thinking we should have been one of them. Hang on. Let me drink some water. And at least when we go to Vegas, it's so dry out there. And then you've got smoke in the casino. Sometimes I feel like I just need to drink Vaseline when I get home just to moisturize myself from the inside out. All right. One of the reasons why weight won't stay off is like when we're trying to lose weight is because we have something called tomorrow thinking. Tomorrow thinking is really easy to understand. And you know you do it if you ever say, tomorrow I'm going to do better. I'm going to get this out of my system so that tomorrow I can get on plan. Tomorrow I'm going to get on track. Tomorrow thinking is this idea that we sit around and are going to have this day of reckoning. It's like, you know, this version of me that's having urges at night, she's stressed out and all she wants to do is just be like, fuck everything. I haven't had a break today. I deserve me some ice cream. Tomorrow thinking is like, tomorrow, I will never be that person again. Tomorrow, she's got her shit together. She doesn't worry. She doesn't have urges. She's got willpower. She's got more energy. Like, tomorrow thinking is this fantasized version of us that somehow is so much better than us. Tomorrow thinking requires an absolute lobotomy overnight. It's like, I'm going to bed this one person, and tomorrow I am waking up as my idealized version, and she ain't stressed, and she can say no to anything. This girl has her shit together. Guess what? Ain't none of y'all having a fucking epiphany in your sleep to where you wake up tomorrow and you're any better at handling your urges. You feel any different. You ain't got no more willpower. None of that's happening. And we gotta call this out because if you keep doing it, you're delusional. That is what tomorrow thinking is. So somebody asked a great question. What's the difference between tomorrow thinking and future me? Future me is you way off in the future. Future you is thousands of mistakes where you learned and you overcame and you changed and you pivoted and you shifted. Tomorrow thinking is I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock in a chocolate chip cookie hangover and I'm waking up tomorrow, Susan Powder. That's tomorrow thinking. Like, there ain't no future you. Future you is a concept too. Like, let's say we're going to be future you tomorrow. Then tomorrow thinking is, I'm going to do so much better tomorrow. You know, tomorrow, you know, once I get this out of my system, I'm going to want it more tomorrow. Like, we imagine tomorrow us, like, everything clicks for her. Future you tomorrow is you being realistic, saying that bitch is going to be tired tomorrow night too. She's probably going to want this ice cream every bit as this version is me. And the best thing I can do for future you right now is to tell myself, if I really want it, I'll plan for her tomorrow. I'm going to plan for the one who has urges, but me today is going to help her. I didn't plan for it today. So today, I need to ask myself, what am I really hungry for? Because it's not ice cream. I'm hungry for a break. I'm hungry to be recognized by people in my family. I'm hungry for help. I'm hungry for more recognition from my boss during the day. I'm hungry for me time. It's really not the ice cream. That's the difference between the two. So with tomorrow thinking, you need to just call yourself out. Tomorrow me is not going to be radically different than today me. Tomorrow me is going to feel very similarly to me. So what can I do today to help her? And there's a really good podcast that all of you could listen to if you want to kind of get a little bit more into tomorrow thinking and kind of where it's laced. My friend Cara Lowenthal, if you go to the Unfuck Your Brain podcast, it is episode 90, and it's called Perfectionistic Fantasies. Perfectionistic fantasies are very much like tomorrow thinking. It's like, tomorrow I'm going to be so much better. So my perfectionistic fantasy is I make elaborate plans that the perfect version of me, who wakes up in a perfect world and no one has demands and nothing ever goes wrong, when I'm driving to a perfectionistic fantasy is leaving your house at the exact moment that if there's no traffic and every red light is green, you hit it. And you just walk, you just grace the presence of your job exactly on time. So it's a really good podcast. Cara Lowenthal, Unfuck Your Brain, episode 90. And it's called Perfectionistic Fantasies. So the best thing all of you can do is you just remind yourself, today is reality. This reality is likely to be very similar tomorrow. So if I'm trying to eat over this reality, rather than thinking tomorrow somehow I'm going to have all my shit together, let's figure out what I most need today. What am I truly hungry for if it's not the food? How do I set my future self up tomorrow who's going to have very similar urges and desires? What can I do for her today to make her life easier instead of putting so much pressure on her to be perfect? Because here's the sucky thing about tomorrow thinking. You build it up in your brain and you set this high bar of like what it's all going to be like. You're going to be perfect. You're going to do all these things. You're going to have more willpower and stuff. And then you're faced with the same shit and you've never taught yourself how to handle it any different. And so over and over again, we disappoint ourselves. And part of the disappointment is unrealistic expectations of ourselves. So when we make it more realistic, then we can make more realistic plans. All right, the second thing that could be like keeping you from losing weight, keeping weight from staying off, is the scale is dictating if you are good or bad. So think about this. A lot of you get on the scale and you just have a shit relationship with it. At the very core, you don't even understand how the scale works. Physiologically. Like in your mind, it's supposed to just go down. It's like, I was good today, it should go down tomorrow. Which is absolute crazy ass bullshit thinking. That is just not how science works. And yet what you're doing is when you're weighing and you're thinking, but I've been good. So good morality behavior should equal reward on the scale. The scale is the lagging indicator of a lot of decisions. A lot of decisions. Very often, the scale, like sometimes the scale is going to go up overnight, depending on what you did the day before. So for example, I did legs today and I do a very heavy leg day. If I get on the scale tomorrow, I should expect anywhere from 2 to 4 pounds of weight gain overnight because I understand how muscles work. When you shred muscles and you drink water, the only way for a muscle to repair is for it to be flooded with water so that it can kick off its chemical processes. Sometimes that takes 2 to 3 days and then it drops all the water out. So very often when I do a leg day, I anticipate the scale to go up for me to hold water. And then I know that about 2 days later, I'm going to have to pee like a racehorse. Because now the largest muscle group in my body is going to be releasing a lot of water it's been using to build the muscle, to repair it, And then I'm probably going to be down on the scale. No fat was exchanged during that time. If I just eat at maintenance level. Now, other things that impact the scale, the barometric pressure. If I weigh in Vegas, I'm always going to be 2 to 3 pounds lighter than I am in Nashville, altitude. There are so many factors that influence the scale. Hormones, time of the month. Like if you don't normally eat salty foods, like when I'm at home, I don't eat a lot of salty foods. We're like, it's just food we cooked. I go out to eat where there's a lot of sodium in it. I'm probably going to, I don't have to overeat. I don't even have to eat some crap food. Like it's not like I'm face down in salty ass chips and then licking a deer lick and then having, I don't know, a salty crusted pretzel. Like it's not even like I'm just sitting there pounding. I can go out to a restaurant and eat a steak that's got more salt on it than I would eat at home and still be up the next day. Only because my sodium balance is different than it was the day before. So when you understand all of that stuff, what you do is you don't put so much of your emotional stock in the scale. Because this is what I do when I weigh in. I weigh in and I look at my behaviors over the past 7 to 10 days. Because here's the thing, the scale won't go down every week either. Some weeks it takes 10 to 14 days of behaviors to influence the scale to go down. Sometimes it can be three. But it's always going to vary. Like you, there's no way that you can manipulate the system to be like, well, I want it to always be 3 days. So how, like, where's the 3 day plan? There is no 3 day plan. It really depends on how your body is treating homeostasis, like all the things it's going through. If you're really stressed out, like whenever I get stressed out, I can be up a couple pounds real easy. When you have a lot of adrenaline and cortisol coursing through your veins, your body's going to hold anywhere from about 2 to 4 pounds of water. It is the required, water is a required molecule to make that hormone work in your body. So, but what I watch a lot of you do is you're watching the scale. And rather than just saying, like, okay, I'm tracking my weight for the overall trend, you're like, micromanaging it, then every time it doesn't do what you think it should, you overeat. You have a bad day. You make it mean you're failing. You take it real personal. See, I knew it. I'm never going to lose weight. See, I'm just a slow loser. See, like you do a lot of like, see, and whatever comes after see is something that you're believing about you. You're taking it personal. The scale over time should go down, but it should look like a wavy line. If you pull up, I always love it when our success stories, when they are, use some kind of a weight tracker for their weight loss, they will show you the graph. It's always jagged. But if you drew a line, the line goes down over time. Like if you watch the slope, it goes down. But if you watch the slope, it's up and down, up and down, up and down, all the way down, which means a success story is someone who doesn't take their weigh-ins personally. They use it as a trigger to check habits. What are the habits that led to this? And I'm just going to tell you, I had times like I had a 6 week, I've told y'all this story 1,000 times, but there was like a 6 week period during my weight loss. I didn't lose shit. Like, not shit. I either maintained or would go up a pound. And I did that for 6 weeks. And I'm going to tell y'all, the first couple of weeks, I was fine. I was just like, you know what? That's just my time. I'm doing so many good things for myself. This is not a big deal. I bet next week's going to be better. That was like weeks 1 and 2. 3 and 4, I started to waver a little bit. I was like, what is going on? Like, I was like, I really should be losing. And I went back and I looked at the last months of behaviors. I was moving every day like I said I would. I was still making my tiny changes. I was drinking my water, getting good sleep. Like I was doing what I needed to be doing. So I hung in there and I was like, just, the only thing that makes sense for weight loss is like these behaviors should equal weight loss. I wasn't overeating. There was no overeating happening. I was one of the ones that could have honestly come on to, like, if Kathy Hartman was coaching me, I could have said, Kathy, I am doing all the things. And I could have handed her over data that showed, yes, Corinne's doing all the things. I was not overeating. I was not eating past full. I was doing none of that stuff. Weeks five and six come. Week five, I was starting to freak out. But I just kept telling myself, you got to keep going. Like, it just makes no sense. Week six, it was my fuck me moment. I literally stood there and I remember saying the words out loud. Like, it wasn't even enough to say them in my head. I was like, fuck this. I'm working so hard. If I'm not going to lose weight, I might as well just be eating. And it was in that moment, like, it was so good that I said it out loud because for so long, I was telling myself, we're going to keep going. This is going to work, all this other stuff. That the version of me on the inside that also believed that the only way to succeed was to keep going, she had a moment to speak up. This was like it would have been real easy for me to be like, but I keep thinking this should be working, but I keep thinking I'm never gonna lose weight, but I keep thinking I should just eat. I could have easily showed up to any coach and said that horse shit that day. And most of y'all will want to. And this is the moment where we decide if we are going to lose weight or we are going to be steeped in diet mentality. That moment, I tell people all the time, it is like the heavens parted and angels with trumpets came out. And then there was this big head of Corinne that said, you are doing too good to stop. If you don't ever lose another pound, what you're doing right now is better than the way you were living. Like, I swear to God, I'll never forget that moment. And I was so grateful that all of the time, that was my first 50 pounds. This was happening. And it, like, y'all, this is how terrible it was. That 6 week plateau, I was hovering at like 202. I wanted Wonderland so bad. Like, I would have given up nachos for life to get there. And I had to wait. And I had to sit there and learn that this is where we're never giving up. Keep going. Something will shake loose. And the next week, the scale started moving down again. It was just a couple weeks later, I finally broke through. And I just kept making little tiny tweaks, little bitty things. Like, if I noticed that when I was working out, that sometimes I was calling it quits like 5 minutes early. It's like, oh, this is good enough. And I was like, you know what? Let's just finish. Let's be a finisher. Like, there were just, when I really dug in into all the things, I noticed micro moment changes to make. And I'm so glad I did it. It taught me smaller changes, look for the little things. And I also learned patience during that time. I also learned I have to have a good relationship with the scale because it does help me figure out a trend, but that's about all it can do. To me, the scale is just, and this is, I'm going to be real honest with all of you. I don't think any of you have to weigh in. In my mind, because it's just like, I could never look, like in my business, I could never look at how much money we bring in. Ever. And I could run a great business. If I'm looking at how many people are joining us, and how many people are staying, and how many of you attend calls, and how many people are engaging in our Facebook groups, and I look at how many people are completing the course. If I look at all of these things, I can know if I'm doing my job in this business because I'm looking at the things that happen. Just like when you are looking at your stuff, if you right now don't have a good relationship with the scale, then I would be really focused on just your habit trackers. Look at your behaviors. If you're eating to enough only 80% of the time, well, that will tell you what you need to do to shake the scale loose. There's 20% of the time that you're overeating. What are you really hungry for in that 20% of the time? And you spend a month getting really good at that, overcoming those things. If you notice like you're making a plan every day, but 55% of the time you're not following it, then we need to figure out, all right, what is it? Why do I keep breaking my plans? What are the reasons that are okay? And what are the reasons that I really need to dig into? What are the reasons that are holding me back from having a good relationship with food? What are the reasons that are holding me back from having the weight loss that I want? What are the reasons that are holding me back from having a better relationship with myself? And look at those things. I would much rather all of you be more focused on the habits, and then you just use the scale as an indicator of like, okay, I either need to tweak something or I don't. And that's it. If you do want more, like I really need to work on this. I want to be weighing in. I want to have a better relationship with the scale. There's a course in Pathways called Conquering the Scale. You can go over there and you can take that course. The last thing is fuck it eating mentality. I think this is the biggest reason why so many of us stay stuck in diet mentality. I think this is one of the biggest reasons why so many of us have a hard time losing weight and keeping it off. It ties into that perfectionistic fantasy stuff. But you have fuck it eating mentality when anytime anything goes wrong, if you overeat just a little bit, if you break your plan, if something doesn't go right in your life, the next thing you know, you're like, screw it. I might as well just eat. I might as well get this out of my system. Sometimes it's very dramatic. It's like, fuck it. I'm just going to eat all this. And it's almost like we're angry eating. And sometimes fuck it eating is actually very subtle. It's like, well, let's just eat the rest of it. I mean, you kind of got started. We'll get it out of our system so that tomorrow we can do better. So watch for your voice. Some of us, the fuck it eating is just like full of like piss and vinegar. And for some of us, it's like the little angel on our shoulder who's just like, let me take care of you. Let's just clear the decks of chips so that tomorrow you can do better. Either one of those voices is dangerous. Doesn't matter which one you have. You want to be listening for them. So fuck it eating is simply deciding that for some reason, things are a lost cause. I might as well. And here's what I want to tell you. There are lots of ways to interrupt this. Most of you want to interrupt fuck it eating before it happens. And I'm going to tell y'all, it doesn't matter where you interrupt it, as long as you get good at interrupting it. So for some of us, the first place to end fuck it eating is going to be before we finish it. And I will tell you, it is going to probably give you more emotional growth. Most of you do this. It's like, I either don't fuck it eat or I'm all in. there's hardly any emotional growth there. I'm just going to tell all of you, that's what I think is the truth. I think the most emotional growth comes from knowing you're doing it, getting near the end, and thinking this doesn't matter, and being able to stop, pause, and say, you know what? Every time I stop, a behavior that I know is not helpful will always matter. This will add up. This will make it easier for me to one day not even have to do this anymore. Right now, I just got to, like, for a lot of you, phase one is getting good at knowing when you're in the middle of a fuck it mode and being able to pause and stop there. Some of you have to pause at the beatdown stage. It's like, I've already done the fuck it eating, and now I'm going to like sit here and tear myself apart. For some of you, the pause has to come there first. You have to say, like, look, this happened. Next time, I want to get better at figuring out a pause somewhere in it, but I refuse to tear myself apart about this. And there is a lot of research out there that shows that when the human brain feels like you're working positively with it versus negatively with it, you get better results. So like that, to me, technically, like phase zero is whatever you do, if you fuck it, eat, do not beat yourself up over it. Agree that you're going to figure out how next time you can interrupt yourself somewhere in the middle of it, somewhere near the end. Because we have to tell ourselves there's more than one way to end win with fuck it eating. The biggest problem y'all run into with fuck it eating is it's an all or nothing type mentality. So it's either I'm not doing it or I am doing it. And so you have to teach your brain that there's lots and lots and lots of pivot points. There's lots of places to stop. It has to change its attitude about it in order for it to never want to go into fuck it eating again. We have to teach our brain there's more ways to win than being perfect. So phase one would be if you're eating a sleeve of Oreos and you were at the very last Oreo, a powerful stop would be, I choose to stop here. This matters versus screw it. It's just one more. What is it? 75 calories for an Oreo, whatever it is. That's easy. But what's hard is to start showing yourself every little change adds up because you're not going to want to believe it. And you'll only believe it if you've done it enough times to start reaping some of the rewards. Most of you decide it won't work before you've even tried it. And my advice is y'all try shit that I say, go out and prove me wrong. Instead of just agreeing with yourself that you're going to get shitty results and then never trying and never giving yourself the opportunity to be wrong. So then, like phase two would be, I'm eating my sleeve of Oreos. I'm about halfway down, chowing down. And that's where I decide every little bit matters. I'm gonna put this away. I'm gonna try again tomorrow. I'm gonna plan some of these tomorrow. Because tomorrow me is probably gonna want the Oreos again too. So I'm gonna give them to her and I'm gonna plan them. And then the next phase would be you didn't plan for the Oreos. You catch yourself after a couple and you're like, all right, we can just stop. I don't need to eat all of them. I must have just been craving something sweet. I wonder why I got the Oreos when I didn't plan for them. That would be the next phase. The final phase would be to hear yourself say you've had a bad day. You overate your dinner a little bit. Like, let's say you finish dinner and you realize, like, ooh, I think I might be full. I think I didn't stop it enough. And then when that voice starts saying, well, since you've already screwed up, what if we just get some Oreos? We'll eat some of those and we can start fresh tomorrow. Tomorrow will be better. Or the voice is like, fuck, I knew you were never going to get this. When are you ever going to get your shit together? I'm just going to have Oreos tonight. This is too hard. It's in that moment hearing that and then pivoting and saying, that's just my fuck it eating voice. Eating a little bit extra at dinner, overeating at dinner has nothing to do with how I can show up for myself the rest of the night. I do not need to screw up the rest of the night when I can save the day. And that would be your phases. And if all of you did that, you'd lose all kinds of weight. And that's literally the answer. And yeah, your brain's gonna think a lot of shit. Your brain's gonna think this won't work. Your brain's gonna think that's not good enough. Your brain's gonna think everybody's doing it better than you. Your brain's gonna think you should be doing it better. This will take too long. Your brain's gonna think all of that. But I'm gonna tell you right now, how fucking long have you been sitting around thinking that shit and not making these changes? I am just telling you right now, all the people who are hearing the words come out of my mouth, I do not steer people wrong. Our method works. There is not a day that goes by that somebody in the Facebook group is not posting, I've lost 100 pounds. I've lost 75. I've lost 50. I've lost 20. I've lost weight and I didn't think I ever could. Every day. This is happening. And it's not because they're unicorns. You know who the unicorns are? All of you who are sitting back thinking you're fucking special, that somehow your unicorn's broken. None of you are that unique. I'm sorry. I'd love to tell you you're a special snowflake, but you just ain't. You got to sit there and in the moment you're fuck it eating, stop. And you have to convince yourself that you're worth it, that this matters. And is that easy? No, because your brain's screaming like a jackass. So what? Your brain screams like a jackass every day because you ain't doing shit perfectly. You might as well do it this way imperfectly. And at least my path offers you an opportunity to win. Your path of just sitting there and listening to your brain scream at you all the time, you're not winning. So, if nobody learns anything out of this class, here's the one thing I want all of you to walk away with. The next time you want to say, but my brain keeps thinking, you tell yourself, I'm fucking glad I know that because now I got to think something else. And then I got to do something else. My thinking is not my problem anymore. The moment you can recognize shit, your thinking is not your problem anymore. Your lack of changing your thinking and doing something different, that is your problem. So at least articulate it correctly. All right, y'all. Y'all have an amazing one. Let me tell you what we're doing this week, the rest of the week. So don't forget to go and check out nobswomen.com tomorrow so you can see the website changes. Sunday is Christmas Eve and you have me. So every year I normally do things on Christmas Day, but this year, because everything happened on Christmas Eve, we're going to use Christmas Eve as our big coaching and let me be there for all of you who are, a lot of you do not celebrate Christmas for, people from all over the world with different religions and stuff. And then also, a lot of you, Christmas is a hard time for you because you've lost people. Maybe you're single. Your family has all, moved away, whatever that is. Just like in our house, nobody comes over for Christmas. We are literally going to the Curry House on Christmas Day because Logan wants to go there. He loves Indian food. And so we're going Curry House because they're open. And that's how we're doing Christmas. So I am going to be live with y'all, not only from a 10 o'clock call, but I believe, let me look at my calendar. We also have the Queen's Club. So we'll be coaching almost all day on Sunday, 10 to 12. And then from believe it is 12:30 to 1:30. And so that will be the big thing. And then I may pop in and do a quick Facebook Live on Christmas Day. Maybe I'll do a Facebook Live from the Curry House. So I will see all of you Sunday. Y'all have a good week. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.